Well, welcome everyone. It's just so good to see you all, so many friends. And that's what today's all about. It's just a day of friends being together, brothers and sisters with our Father. And, you know, I'm just really excited because of what Father's going to do in our hearts today. And you see, all of us are on a journey, aren't we? And we're all on a different phase of that journey. And for some people, this may be the first time you've been to anything like this. For others, you know, you just can't stop coming to get more. And, you know, each one of us is at a different place on this journey. But each one of us has the stuff of life going on at the same time, don't we? You know, busy work, busy family, things happening, and I just feel like we need days like this where we can just come back and focus on the real reality and just focus again on Father. See, He's loving us all the time. His love for us is not dependent on what's going on in our lives. His love for us is not dependent on how we feel, but He's loving us all the time. And what we, you know, what today is just that the eyes of our heart would be opened so that we can see and experience the reality of being loved. Because somehow in the busyness, we lose that focus, don't we? We lose the, you know, we get so caught up with the daily life and stuff going on and, you know, what's happening with the kids and what's happening with work and all the stuff that's going on. We get so caught up with that. It's like that becomes our focus. And just as I was driving down this morning, I felt like Father say that for us just to pause for a moment and to allow the eyes of our heart to be opened, so that we can see and experience Him loving us. Because He's loving us all the time. And we just want to step back into the reality of that for today. So let's just take a moment. Maybe just put your hand on your heart. And just quiet yourself. Just come to that place of rest. To experience the love that is with us all the time. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you're loving us right now. And Father, just as we spend this day with you in your presence, may we know and may we experience and may we come to rely more and more on that love that you have for us. Father, just through today, through all of the day, whether we're listening, whether we're having coffee, whether we're eating, whether we're soaking, Father, would you just pour your love into our hearts and take us deeper into that revelation of who you are. Amen. You know, I really believe it has to be possible for us to live in love. You know, it's not something we talk about. It's not something that's a theory. It's not a concept. I mean, it is for our eternity, you know, when we go to be with Him forever, of course we will live in love. But when we talk about living in love, we're not looking at a picture that is somewhere in the future. I believe we're looking at something that is a present reality for our day-to-day lives. And the journey that we're on is to just become more aware of that. and to live in love, to be rooted and grounded in love. See, I don't think anything in this book should be an impossibility for us. Because, you know, this book is to be a living reality. And, you know, I know there's a lot of things that are in here that we're not there yet. But I believe everything that's written about is something for us to experience and for us to live in. And, you know, the promises that are contained are for us. You know, we won't need the Bible when we get to heaven because we'll be living in all of the fullness of it. So all of these things, they're for us now. And when we read through the Gospels and when we read through Paul's letters about, you know, being in Christ and living in love, it's somehow a present reality for us to experience today, tomorrow, Monday morning. You know, and I want us to just explore that a little bit today together and to go deeper. There's a few verses in Exodus chapter 33 where really in about three or four verses, Moses goes on an incredible journey of his heart. And, you know, it's kind of the journey we're on, except for most of us, it takes a little bit longer than the time it takes to read the three verses. You know, for most of us, we kind of think, you know, I'm barely started. And Moses seems to get through all of this in about 2 seconds. But in Exodus 33, verse 12, Moses says to the Lord, he says, "You've said to me, bring up this people, but you have not told me who you will send with me. Moreover, you've said, I've known you by name and you've found favor in my sight. Now," this is Moses saying, "now, if I found favor in your sight, teach me your ways so that I may know you." And then God says to him, "My presence will go with you. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." See, Moses starts off by, you know, he's looking out and he's got all these people and it's overwhelming. And he's looking out at this big job that God's given him to do of leading the people of Israel. And he panics and he says, "I can't do this on my own. Who's coming with me? Who's coming here? Who's going to help me?" And it's like his first response is, "I can't do this. Help." And his second response is, "Okay, I'll do it, but teach me your ways." You know, and I think what Moses is saying there is, give me the instruction manual. Give me the book of rules. You know, I'll do the job, but I need to know how to do it. And then, you know, he hears God speak to him and says, "You found favor in my sight. You know, I'm not going to give you the book of rules. My presence is going to be with you." And then Moses says, "Oh, if your presence is with me, you know, I don't want to go anywhere unless your presence goes. You know, I'll stay put if your presence stays put, but if your presence is moving, then I'll move with you." And you see, the transformation that Moses has gone through in that little, those few verses is I think the transformation we go through in our lives, you know, the stuff of life, the stuff that distracts us, you know, Monday to Friday, Monday to Sunday, 9 to 5, you know, all of the stuff of life is like, help! You know, and how often do we look at what's going on in our lives and feel overwhelmed? Like, I can't do this, God. You know, this is just too much. It's like the struggles that we're facing, the things that are going on with our families, the things that are happening in our workplaces, the things that are happening in our communities. It's like, this is too much. And we feel the weight of that. And we feel overwhelmed by it. We feel like, I can't do it. And we kind of have this cry that says, God, I need you. You know, help me, show me how to do this. And what we do is what Moses did. Moses went to his mind. He said, yeah, okay, God, I know you're good. I'll do the job you've given me to do, but give me the rule book. Teach me your ways. Show me how to do it. And it's very easy for us to default into our minds and say, how do I do this? And I think the moment we ask that question, we're always asking the wrong question. How do I do it is always the wrong question. Because the moment we start to do that, we start to try and work it out ourselves, and we start on a pathway that can lead us into striving and our own effort. And Moses is saying that. He said, teach me your ways. He said, you know, show me how I can do this. And then God just nudges him and just says, hang on, Moses, don't panic. You know, my presence is with you. You know, my presence, I am with you. And it's at that moment that Moses has the sort of revelation, and he says, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us from here. You know, it's like, I want your presence, Father. I want to have the reality of you standing with me, you know, walking with me and being with me. And you know, I feel like that's the journey we're all on. We get so caught up often with being overwhelmed by everything that's around us. We try and work it out in our own way. But actually what we just need to do is just stop and say, Father, thank you that you are with me. Thank you that your presence is with me. You know, and I just want to go where your presence goes. You know, if you go off in this direction, I might not know where you're going, but I'll go with you. You know, if you go this way, I'll come with you. And if you just stay, I'll stay. Because the moment we step outside of that circle of God's presence, we step into our own independence. And when we step into our own independence, we step into our own striving. And then we wonder why we're worn out again. But, you see, to me, this is the key to living in love. It's like, Father, where are you? What are you doing? How can I be with you? You know, and just realizing that there are so many distractions, but yet, Father, I want to be with you where you are. That's what Jesus said in John 17. You know, his prayer for us was that we would be with him where he is. And, you know, he is at the Father's side. And so the key, if you like, the key to living in love is just to say, Father, where are you? You know, and how can I find that place? A few weeks ago, I shared on Facebook a post from Bob Mumford. Now, many of you will have heard of Bob Mumford. He's a very well-known Bible teacher and had a lot of influence in the church that I was part of, in the church, the group of churches in Basingstoke over the years. But just in the last few years, he's really, really come into an amazing revelation of the Father. And it's absolutely beautiful. And everything he's teaching and everything he's putting on Facebook is all about the Father. He was those of you who knew Bob Mumford, he was a little bit of a tortuous speaker, you know, very intense, but very, very good. But so some of his posts are a little bit intense, but they're really good. And I shared one the other day, and he'd written about being a father pleaser, like Jesus is a father pleaser. And I put this up on, I thought it was good, I put it up on Facebook, and a number of people commented, and they said, oh, this is what we've got to do now, is it? We've got to be a father pleaser. And I thought, you've just missed the point. You know, that's actually not what Bob Mumford is saying. You know, you don't do father pleasing, you become a father pleaser as you live in love. And I thought, people didn't, you know, anyway, never mind. It's the joys of Facebook, you know, you get the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I have a love-hate relationship with it. But you know, he in that article, what he was basically encouraging us to do was, as you know, just as we live in love, we will automatically become father pleasers, because we'll be just pursuing his presence and saying, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you going, Father? And it won't be about what we do. It will be about who we become. And, you know, I just thought that was just so good. And You see, living in love is not an impossibility. It's something for each one of us, wherever we're at on the journey. And in 1 John 4:16, John writes, he said, you know, we know and we have come to rely on the love that he has for us. See, the word knowing there, it's not knowing with the mind, but it's knowing with the heart. It's the experience of knowing. And John's saying we've experienced the love the Father has for us in our hearts. And because we've experienced it, and because we go on experiencing it, we can come to rely on it. And I think that's really important for us, because there are sometimes, you know, when life is difficult, when life is challenging, and you've lost sight of maybe where God is in your situation, to be able to rely on something that you've experienced is an incredible gift. And John says we experience the love the Father has for us. We know the love the Father has for us. And that leads us to a place where we can begin to rely on it. And we can begin to fall back on it. We can begin to rest on it. Because even when things are difficult, we've got that bedrock of his love in our life. That never changes, it never goes away, it's never not there for us. And sometimes we just need to know that we can rely on something, even if maybe we're not feeling anything at that point in time. We know that we know that we know. And, you know, the more we experience him loving us, the more we experience being loved, the more we build up that sort of, that foundation of his love in our lives. That even when things are difficult, we just know it's there, because it is there. And it's like we've got that very simple trust that says, you know, you're with me, Father. In whatever I'm going through, whatever experiences are happening in my life, you're with me. See, those words in 1 John 4:16, they're experiential words. They're not theoretical. They're not a concept. They're a living reality in our hearts, of knowing and experiencing the love that he has for us. And that's, you know, that's the journey, that when we let go of trying to pursue things with our mind, when we let go of trying to sort of work it all out, when we let go of trying to rely on our own strength and just say, Father, I just want to rest in your presence. Then we, and it's like, you know, I'll just stay in that place. You know, and what I hope for today is that we can just come back to that place, and we can just rest in the center of his love for us, because it never changes. And we're the ones who step out of it. I mean, God never stops loving us. And even when we step out of that centered place, you know, he's still loving us. But somehow it's like, you know, the eyes of our heart become a little bit dim, and we don't see it, we don't experience it. And, you know, my prayer, you know, for myself is, you know, Father, keep the eyes of my heart open so I can see with my heart where you are and what you're doing. Because it's very easy to be distracted and see other things. It doesn't change the truth of him loving us. But when we start to look at other things, they become our focus. And it's just coming back to that place of saying, Father, I just want to be centered in that place of being loved and experiencing being loved. And not let all these other distractions take over. Because they do, don't they? And, you know, it's very easy. I know it happens for me. But we can just come to that place and say, Father, I just want to rest in your presence, being loved by you. In John 17, verse 24, Jesus says, Father, I desire that they whom you've given me may be with me where I am, so that the glory that you've given me will be in them. The glory that you've given me before the foundation of the world. See, it's just an amazing prayer, that prayer of Jesus is in John 17. Because he's saying, Father, these people, my desire is that they would be where I am. You know, he's not talking about our eternal future in heaven. He's talking about today. He's saying, Father, those people who are meeting in Tadley, my desire is that they would be where I am. And he is, we know that he's gone back to be at the bosom of the Father. He came from the bosom of the Father, the side of the Father. And he went back to that place of intimacy with his Father. And he says, Father, I desire that these people would be with me where I am. And, you know, that's his longing, is that each one of us would live in that place of intimacy with him. See, that's not, what Jesus is praying there is not the reward for good behavior. It's not a prize for, you know, achievements. Because if it was, how many of us would make it? You know, it's not like Jesus is saying, if you're a good boy or a good girl, this is what you get. He's saying, this is the place that all Christians, all believers can live in. And Jesus' prayer is, you know, my desire is that they would be there, which kind of leaves with me a little bit of an element of choice. You know, it's the desire of Jesus' heart. It's not like it's a command or something that will happen automatically. It's like Jesus says, you know, this is my desire, that they would be where I am. And I think that puts a little bit of the choice back on us. You know, do we choose to gaze upon him? Do we choose to look upon? Do we choose to pursue his presence? Do we choose to allow the eyes of our heart to be opened? And, you know, I just keep coming back and saying, Father, will you keep the eyes of my heart open? Will you keep me looking for you? Keep me looking for your presence? Because I know how easy it is for all these other things to be such a distraction. And, you know, they are a distraction. Things do distract us, don't they? I'm sure this week Dean has been thinking all the time about how she's going to be cooking lunch for us. Yeah, and the night shelter, you see. So through her week, there's been all these distractions going off in her mind of food, which we will benefit from. So we're glad you... Well, we will. We know past experience. We know and rely on the food that Dina has for us. But you see, all these distractions, they just happen. You know, and over time they can just build up and build up and build up. And for us just to keep coming back to what is the most important thing, which is not Dina's lunch, as good as that will be. To come back to that important thing of knowing and experiencing the love that the Father has for us. Because that's how we live in love. That's how we become rooted and grounded in love. You know, I love the way the Message puts those verses in 1 John chapter 4. The Message says, God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one not yet fully formed in love. Isn't that wonderful? You know, love has the run of the house. You know, we take up permanent residence in a life of love. It's like, that's what rooted and grounded in love looks like. Where we give love permission to take up residence in our hearts, where we give ourselves permission to make our home in love. And we just make, you know, love the main thing. Over the last few weeks on the webcasts, one of the things that's really been coming up regularly in Barry and my our teaching and in the discussions is in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, you know, pursue spiritual gifts, but earnestly desire love. You know, let me show you the most excellent way. Pursue love. And it's like there's all these other good things that are around us, but pursue love. You know, and, you know, Barry's got this little expression, hasn't he, which many of you will have heard, is keep the main thing the main thing. You know, make the main thing the main thing. And it's just so true, isn't it? You know, what is the main thing? What is the most important thing? It's to live in love. Well, let's make that the most important thing. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. And give love the run of our hearts. And for us to just live in that place of being loved. See, this is not unattainable. It's not outside of our grasp. It's something for each one of us. And as we live in love, it will transform our lives. It will just, it's the thing that changes us. I don't know about you, but I've tried to change myself over the years and spectacularly failed because I've realized I can't do it. You know, I can try for a few weeks and I can have a bit of success and, you know, maybe I can discipline myself to do something for 2 or 3 weeks. But as love lives inside of us, it transforms our hearts. You know, many of you will have heard the story of the first time Fiona and I went to Toronto in 2002 to the conference of Father Loves You. And when we went there, I wrote this list of all the things I wanted God to do in my heart. You know, I kind of thought, no one will know me, I can be anonymous, and God can do it. And on the first night, he just said to me, I don't want to do anything on that list. Which gave me a problem because I thought he was God. And I thought he wanted to sort us out. But, you know, and I thought he wanted all the stuff in my life dealt with. But he said, I don't want to do that. I want to do what's on my list. You know, and eventually I said to him, well, what's on your list? And thinking it was something I'd missed off my list, you know, it's like, oh no, I thought my list was comprehensive enough with all my brrr, and, you know, what's he found that I've missed off, you know? But he just said, I want to love you. You know, I want to love you back to life. And, you know, we had a little discussion about that. And, you know, I've learned that when you have a discussion with God, he normally wins. And so we had this little discussion, but he won. And for us, and for me and for Fiona, that was just an incredible week of being immersed in the Father's love. But I remember, you know, a few months later, I found the list again. And I looked down the list and I realized a lot of those things had been dealt with simply because of the transforming power of love. You know, that the love of God drives out all fear. A lot of our stuff is to do with fear. Because fear is the opposite of love. You know, when Adam and Eve stepped outside of the Father's environment of love in the garden, they stepped into a life of fear. You know, suddenly when they'd eaten the fruit, they were afraid. You know, fear took over. And a lot of our stuff is to do with fear. It's got fear at the root. But when we live in love, perfect love casts out fear. You know, fear cannot live where love lives. And, you know, the more we live in love, the more we allow love to have the run of the home, the more we pursue his presence and who he is. That's what transforms our life. And It's actually quite easy. Because how hard is it when we try and do it ourselves? It is, isn't it? It's a challenge, it's difficult, but when we allow the power of love to work inside us, the transformation seems to happen a lot easier. I'm not saying it's totally easy, it's not always pain-free. Many of you will know that. But it takes us away from us doing it in our own effort and relying on Him. In Ephesians chapter 3, here's a very famous sort of passage that Paul wrote. And he says this, he says, I pray that He would pour out over you the unlimited riches of His glory and favour until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. You know, the Father wants to pour His love into our hearts so that His love becomes our resting place. The resting place of His love will become the source and root of your life. You know, and as we live in love, we actually rest in His love. Yeah, you know, rest is not being on the sofa with your feet up watching your favourite TV. Sorry. You know, we need that sort of rest. That sort of rest is good for us. You know, we need to be able to have a place where we can relax. But we can be sitting on the sofa with our feet up watching TV, but inside of us, we're not at rest at all. You know, we might be physically relaxing, but our heart is in turmoil. But when we, you know, the rest that I'm talking about is the rest of our hearts, the rest of our souls, the internal engine that we all experience that is so busy and churning away inside of us, for that just to come to a place of rest. And if that's, you know, if that's at a place of rest, you can be really busy. You can be doing a lot of things, but if you are at rest inside of you, then you're at rest. You might still get physically tired. You might still have a full diary, but inside, you're at rest. And I know, you know, just my own life, it's like, I know I'm busier now than I've been, you know, maybe apart from when the kids were little, you know, when that was really sort of full on and busy. But, you know, I'm busier now than I've been for a number of years, but inside, I know I'm more at rest. And, you know, I want more of that. Because I don't want to ever feel like I've got there. You see, I know I'm at rest, but I want to be more at rest. And that's the journey we're on. And the moment we, if we ever think we've got there, if we ever think we've seen it all and understood it all and, yeah, I'm filled with the love of the Father, my life is at rest. If we ever think we've got to that place, all we've done is minimize God to the size of our mind, the size of our understanding. You know, there's always more. There's always more for us to pursue. And, you know, that's why we're on this journey of wanting more, of seeking more, of desiring more, of saying, Father, will you go on pouring your love into my heart so that I can live loved? I can live in that experience of being loved. I can live in that, I can live with that foundation of love in my life. Because that's the thing that makes the difference, isn't it? That's the thing that really changes us, that really transforms us. That's the thing that actually, you know, breaks some of the strongholds that we feel have got a hold of us. I got a message the other day from somebody And they said, can I ask you something, Mark? And I said, yes. They said, tell me about deliverance and spiritual warfare. And I said, okay, what's the next question? And she said, oh, my father keeps walking around the house shouting at all these demons in everybody that comes in the house and walks past the road, and you know, and it's like, I thought, oh, I wouldn't want to live there, you know. But anyway, and she said, yeah, and she said, it just seems like so much hard work. And she'd been at a conference I'd done in the Netherlands 2 weeks ago, and she said, you just made it sound so easy. And I said, well, I think it's a bit easier than that. Because, you know, I believe in spiritual warfare, but I believe in the power of love more. And I want to focus people on being loved. See, I said to this lady, I said, you know, what's happening in the people's hearts that are being shouted at? And she said, it's just pushing them away. She, and they don't want anything to do with my dad. And I thought, well, I can understand that. See, love wins. Love draws people. Love draws hearts. And, you know, I think the more we live in love, the more we live in love, the more our lives are rooted and grounded in love, the more love becomes the resting place of our hearts. You know, I believe that will flow out of us and it will touch other people. And it will begin to transform their lives as well. And to me, I said to this friend of mine, I said, look, loving people is going to be much more effective than shouting at the demons you think are there. Because, you know, love wins, love draws, love wins. And, you know, I said, yeah, okay, if that's what your dad wants to do, that's fine, that's what he wants to do, but I think the power of love is stronger than the power of anything that comes against us. And I'd rather live in love and let the love that is inside of me rule over the struggles in my life. And actually, I believe it will affect the struggles in other people. We've got a lady in our office whose husband's just been diagnosed with cancer. And, you know, the prognosis looks good and the treatment looks like it's going to be effective. But, you know, this lady came to the office just after she'd heard about it. And as far as she was concerned, her husband was going to be dead by Christmas. Which, you know, it's understandable. You know, the fear had taken over her. She doesn't know the Lord. She's not a Christian. She's got no faith. And this fear had just taken over her. And I sat her down in my office, and me and two of the other guys in the business, we're Christians. And, you know, she sat down in my office and I just listened. But then I just started to just sort of say, well, I don't know what I said really, but I didn't preach the gospel. I know that. But I know what I was doing, and I don't know the words I used, but what I was doing was letting the love inside of me flow to her so that she would receive something of peace and something of rest. And just listening to her and just talking to her and just encouraging her and, you know, trying to give her another perspective and, you know, all of that. At the end of it, she went away much happier. By the end of the week, she was absolutely convinced that her husband is going to be totally fine. And, you know, I believe he will be. But, you know, she had to go through that process of dealing with her fear. And, you know, maybe in some small way, I was just able to do that. But I know it wasn't the words I was saying. That's what I'm trying to say. I know it was the fact that in a measure, I'm living in love. And that could flow out of me to her. And she did come up the following week. She just came up and said, oh, you know, thank you for listening and thank you for saying what you said. You know, it is time. When people say that, you think, well, what did I say? But it's actually not what you say. It's what's inside of us that comes out. And it's no different, you know, we're all, each one of us is the same. You know, I'm not anyone special in that regard. Each one of us, the more we live in love, the more we become rooted and grounded in love, the more we give love the run of the house of our hearts, it will automatically flow out of us. Living in love is it infects other people. You know, Jesus said often, you know, you will love one another. This is the fruit of your walk, is that you love one another. In John, he writes, if you claim to be in love, if you claim to live in love, then you will love one another. See, loving one another is the natural consequence of living in love. You know, we love because he first loved us. You know, there are some people who are really hard to love, aren't there? You know, and there are natural challenges like that. But we can love them much more easier if we're living in love ourselves. Because actually what we find is it's not our love, but it's the love of the Father in us that touches other people. See, I just really believe that as we live in love, it infects and it affects those around us. I think that's the way the world is going to be changed, through the power of love. You know, you look at, there's so much hatred in the world and so much division. I mean, even on Facebook, I mean, even me posting my little comment about from Bob Mumford, you know, my Christian friends, you know, some of them were getting a bit sort of edgy about it. I'm thinking, hey, whoa, just hang on a minute, you know. You can disagree, but you don't have to disagree like that. You know, and it's like there's so much sort of conflict. But yet I believe that it's the power of love that is going to change. It will change us first. It has to change us first. It's the only way. It's for our lives to be transformed by love. But it can't help but change others. And you know, my encouragement for us today is that we just take time to give our hearts space to be loved. Give our hearts time to be loved. Give our hearts time just to see the reality of what is there all of the time. That the Father is loving us all the time. That, you know, he doesn't stop loving us when we have a bad day. It's just that we're just not able to experience it so much. But he's still loving us. And I want to give us, you know, permission today to give our hearts time to be loved. To rest in his love. To come back to that place where we know that his love is becoming the source and the root of our life. You know, that's how Jesus lived. You know, that's how he was a father pleaser. Because he allowed the Father's love to be his energy. And, you know, can we allow the Father's love to be our energy? The very, very thing that sustains us and you know, gives us that sort of energy to live. Life's hard sometimes, isn't it? Life's difficult. It's got challenges. But his love will give us the energy to walk through those. His love will give us the ability to go through those in rest and peace. See, I really believe this is possible. I don't believe this is, you know, something that's out there. I believe it's something that we can take into our hearts. And, you know, for all of us, you know, I keep saying we're on this journey. And we are. Each one of us has experienced and received a different measure of his love. You know, and each one of us has got our own story to tell. Each one of us has got our own you know, knowledge of how we've experienced and relied on his love in the past. But I want that to grow in us. You know, I want that reservoir of his love to become deeper and deeper and more substantial. So that, you know, we live just out of the fullness of his love for us. Not out of the trickle of his love for us, but out of the fullness. See how great the love the Father has lavished upon us. That's a generous word, isn't it? Lavished. You know, it's not like see the love the Father has trickled upon us, but it's see how great the love the Father has lavished upon us. It's generous. You know, Romans 5, verse 5, you know, God pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation says, the love of God is cascading into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know, to me, that's another generous expression of love, isn't it? You know, cascading, lavish. You know, don't ever think that God's given you all the love that he's got for you. Because there's always more for us to receive. There's always more to go on receiving. You know, he hasn't got a box that is a finite measure of love, and he gives a little bit to Sue and a little bit to you and a little bit to Victoria and Ivan. You know, he's got a lavish, unlimited amount for each one of us. And you know, I just want, my encouragement is that we earnestly desire, we earnestly pursue love. You know, Paul says, let me show you the greater way, the best way. Pursue a life of love. Because that's the thing that will change us. You know, let's go back to where we started. We started with that little story of Moses. First of all, the panic. Secondly, the sort of default. How do I do this? And then thirdly, the revelation of, it's your presence. I need you. And if you don't go with me, I ain't going. And if you go, then I'm going. Where you go, I'll go. You know, and I think that's the story of our lives. The panic, the overwhelmingness of life, the challenges of life, the busyness of life, the default way of trying to sort it out in our own strength. And then eventually coming to that place of rest, saying, Father, where are you in this? Let's just pray for a few moments. And then I think we have a coffee break. Do we have a coffee break?
Yes.
Yeah, we have a coffee break. Good. Need a coffee break. I'm just going to put some music on and let's just open our hearts to receive for a few moments. Father, just again we ask you that the eyes of our heart may be opened to see and experience you loving us right now. And Father, the eyes of our heart would be open to experience this great love that you have for us. And Father, would you just be present with each one of us right now? Right across this room, Father, that you would be touching hearts. You would be pouring your love into our hearts. That we would be experiencing your love being the resting place of our lives. That your love would become to us the source and the root of our life. Father, right now, would you just pour your love into our hearts? May we know the experience of your love right now. The experience of being loved. Thank you, Father.